Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Lori McGee, and it is my pleasure to lead today's service. I am joined in welcoming you by Christopher Sperry, who is serving as our worship associate.
A very special guest with us this morning, a didgeridoo player from Australia. He's a singer and a songwriter and His name's Phil Shiva Jones, and he'll be sharing his music with us. And I'd just like to announce that today at the Kent Yoga Center at 1 o'clock, he will be offering a didgeridoo workshop with all kinds of ways to enhance our breathing, circular breathing, and something that actually helps with sleep apnea. So come learn to play the didgeridoo.
I light our chalice this morning with the opening line from the poem, The Desiderata. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence.
I'm not Lori, by the way. Recently, I spent the evening most of the afternoon and evening at Akron General Emergency Room. Evelyn and I had gone biking. She thought something was broken. It was not. But we spent from about 4:30 to 11:30 to find that out. We went home. We had Erica with us. We went to bed about midnight. About 2 o'clock, we were back at Children's Emergency Room. Breathing problem. I learned what croup is. I didn't know before. Apparently, 2 o'clock in the morning is classic for that. So after Erica was treated and she was calmly laying in her bed in the room was dim, and we were kind of waiting to see when she would be let loose to go home. It was time to kind of reflect, and we had met some very extraordinary people that day, and they helped us without knowing us, without any real reason why. They had no judgment about whether or not we should have been on the bicycle in the way we were. They had no judgment about whether or not we should have brought Erica in. They made us feel cared for, safe, and yes, even loved. And when I look at my place in this world, I'm reminded that there's no opportunity too small to show care for another. Come, let us worship together.
Oh.
The Alchemist, written in 1988 by Paulo Coelho, is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most translated book by a living author. To date, it has been translated into 56 languages with millions of copies sold. Much, if not all, of the book's success is due largely to word-of-mouth testimonials. People just can't seem to say enough good things about Coelho's little book. So what's the big deal, anyway? Well, I must admit that the book sat on my shelf for quite a while before I finally picked it up, despite the fact that I knew all of this beforehand. It's a simple yet rich story that offers profound insights into how we can and should make our lives beautiful and meaningful by following our dreams and listening to our hearts. I would like to offer now a brief summary of the story for the benefit of those who haven't read it. My apologies to those who have, but don't worry, it's not a spoiler. When Santiago, a young shepherd boy from the Spanish countryside of Andalusia, has a recurring dream that reveals the location of a hidden treasure buried in the Egyptian pyramids, his simple life is suddenly torn in two. Part of him wants to take the chance to go searching for it, and the other part of him wants to continue his easy life as a shepherd. One day, while in town, a mysterious king named Melchizedek, the king of Salem, convinces Santiago that he has succeeded in discovering his personal legend. The old king tells Santiago that following his personal legend to its conclusion is a person's only real obligation in life. Santiago listens to his heart and decides to go on a dangerous search for that treasure. He sells his flock of sheep and heads to Africa, where he is quickly robbed of all of his gold and left despondent on the streets. He decides that he was foolish to believe in his dream and quickly gets a job with a crystal merchant in order to save up enough money to go back home. After almost a year of working for the merchant, Santiago has made a success of the shop and has plenty of money to do whatever he wants. As he's walking the streets to go back home, he suddenly decides to take a chance and continue his search for the buried treasure. He joins a caravan to make the dangerous crossing across the desert, and as he rides along, slow days in the caravan, he begins to listen to his heart and to the desert. He begins to understand what the soul of the world is and how he fits in. When the caravan makes it to the oasis, Santiago meets a girl that he falls in love with the moment he lays his eyes upon her. The local alchemist, a mysterious man who reminds Santiago of the old king, helps Santiago continue his journey across the desert and teaches him more important life lessons along the way. Although Santiago does not know it, he is becoming wise and a master in the art of living life to the fullest, no matter what. Although he has left his true love back at the oasis, he is resolved to follow his dream to its end. This summary, of course, is just an extremely basic outline of a much deeper story. In fact, I found it wasn't so much the plot itself that was compelling as it was Coelho's narrative style and the lessons learned by Santiago during his journey. These lessons are what make the book both so popular and so meaningful. Before I begin to look at what the novel has to offer us, however, I would like to note something about Coelho himself. In the modern practice of literary criticism, the religion of an author should not be taken into account when analyzing a text. In this case, however, it plays a central role. Coelho is Catholic, and many details regarding some of the most important characters in the novel have biblical references, although they are very subtle indeed. I did not learn of the biblical nature of some of these traits until I began the research for this service. In fact, a fact for which I am glad. Had I known previous to reading the novel, I may not have listened to the story as well as I did. I may not have heard the message. This is not something I am particularly proud of. It's just a statement of fact. However, from the first time I read the book to right now, I have learned a lot. And one of those things is not to dismiss out of hand lessons that come from other traditions, because some have the ability to cross over into others. These are the kinds of lessons found in Coelho's book. We learn very early on in the book that Santiago is following his personal legend by beginning his search for hidden treasure revealed to him through a recurring dream. He is convinced of the worthiness of this quest by a mysterious man who calls himself Melchizedek, the king of Salem. In reality, Melchizedek is a figure found in several places in the Judeo-Christian Bible. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, Psalm 110, verse 4, and the Epistle to Hebrews. His name also appears in other non-biblical texts. The second book of Enoch, a Jewish sectarian text from the first century of the Common Era, Dead Sea Scroll 11Q13, and the early Gnostic script called the Nag Hammadi Library. Just who Melchizedek was is up for debate. The word itself means righteousness is my king, and some scholars say the name signifies the perfect priest of God and was not meant to represent an actual person. Others say that Melchizedek is another name for Jesus Christ himself. While the jury is still out on the historical and biblical significance of Melchizedek, there is no question to his importance to Santiago in the novel. The conversation that the two of them have at the beginning of the story echoes through the rest of the novel and builds the foundation for everything else the boy needs to learn. It is Melchizedek that tells Santiago that his quest to follow his dream is more than just folly. The old king tells the boy, "Your personal legend is what you have always wanted to accomplish. Everyone, when they are young, knows what their personal legend is. At that point in their lives, everything is clear and everything is possible. They are not afraid to dream and to yearn for everything they would like to see happen to them in their lives." But he goes on to tell him, that won't be easy. That in fact there are forces that seem to conspire to convince us that what we hope to achieve is impossible. This is when most people give up. What we don't realize, though, is that those forces are actually there to help us reach our goals, to help us see what it is that we really want. And when all is said and done, when you really want something, all the universe conspires in helping you achieve it. Finally, he tells Santiago that he should follow the omens that God would leave for him and that he should listen to his heart in all things. Melchizedek and Santiago never meet again. As I said earlier, this conversation holds much of what Santiago needs to know for the rest of his journey. He meets people, both good and bad, and has many adventures, and finally succeeds in his quest. He is lucky. For most of the other characters, and for most of us, getting the opportunity to follow our personal legend to its completion is miraculous at best. However, it need not be so, and I think it is never too late to start. In the introduction to the novel, written in 2002 for its 20th anniversary, Coelho addresses the four obstacles we encounter when we try to fulfill our personal legend. The first obstacle is one of inculcation. We are taught to believe that what we want to achieve is impossible. When I first read this, I disagreed because my family was very encouraging of my dreams when I was a child. But as I considered this further, I began to see the truth in it. For even though our parents may encourage us with all the love they have, society has a way of teaching us more than our parents' love can undo. As soon as we take one step outside of our own door or turn on our television, we are subjected to images and messages of how we are supposed to look, talk, behave, dream, believe, the list goes on. We begin to absorb these messages, and eventually it's like they were there all along. But if we can get past this and realize what our dream is, we are faced with the second obstacle, love. Coelho says that love, instead of being the impetus for pursuing our dream, holds us back because we are afraid of hurting those around us with the sacrifices often required for following that dream. This statement definitely rang true for me. I can't tell you how many times I did not do something I wanted or needed to do just because I didn't want to hurt someone else. In fact, the whole reason I didn't go on to get my PhD was because I didn't want to uproot my girls and take them out of state, where the closest program in my field was. What I realize now is that they would have been fine. They would have made new friends, and everything would have worked out. What everyone needs to understand, says Coelho, is that our loved ones only want us to be happy and will accompany us on our journey, if not always physically, then at least mentally and emotionally. The third obstacle is quite easy to relate to: fear of defeat. I don't think there is a person alive who can somehow tell a story of a fear that kept them from doing something. It was this kind of fear that kept me from going to college for so long in the first place. You see, no one in my family had gone to college before, and I had no idea what to expect if I could succeed. After a first brief failed attempt right out of high school, I didn't try again until I was 24 years old. But it was that first failure, according to Coelho, that helped me understand the value of what I was doing and why I had to continue. The secret of life, he says, is to fall 7 times and get up 8. Once we overcome our fear, we begin to open up to how the universe is conspiring to help us succeed, and our journey is almost complete. If we can make it past all of these obstacles, we are faced with the fourth and most difficult of all: guilt. Most people feel guilty if they achieve something when they look around and see so many others who have not. We begin to feel undeserving. We forget all that we have worked for and give up right when our goal is in sight. I had great feelings of guilt during my college years, especially when it came to my grandmother. She only had schooling up to the 8th grade, and any kind of higher education was extremely scary to her. She truly believed that I was somehow belittling her by going to college. She told me in no uncertain terms that my place was at home, taking care of a man and my children. It was a difficult time, but we both survived. It's kind of ironic now that she is more proud of me than anyone else and introduces me to her friends as the little professor. In the novel, the alchemist tells Santiago that the one great fact of life is that when one thing evolves, everything around it evolves as well. We must remember that we are all worthy of pursuing our dreams, that our quest may in fact begin someone else on their own. Lastly, I think we can use the advice Coelho gives to achieve not only the big dreams, but all of the little ones as well. Sometimes I need an extra little push just to get through a day, a week, a month in my ever-changing life. Remembering to stay true to myself is the bottom line. I must follow my heart, stay the course, be present, and get to the end. For at the end, new dreams will arise. May you find this truth in your own life. Amen, and blessed be. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, however you conceive him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. Go in peace.